Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Call into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Live at Martin County High School up in Stuart, Florida. It's Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. We got Christian Catt at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. The 5 o'clock hour of Russo and Rizzo, presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Hope everybody's having a wonderful Friday afternoon. We got a little ESPN West Palm High School game day action coming up after this. That is going to be Martin County, Dr. Joaquin Garcia, kickoff at 6:30. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we got Christian Catt helping us out. And also, I pack college late tomorrow, including UMUF. That just reminds me of bowl season coming on about. The 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, it's coming. And it's coming off for its 12th year. Tuesday, December 23rd at 2 p.m. at FAU Stadium. The game is going to air on ESPN. It's going to have two of the biggest and best teams from the group of five that are going to battle it out for their chance at the title. More information can be found at BocaRatonBowl.com. Follow along on Twitter at Boca Bowl and Facebook.com/Boca Bowl for more updates as we inch closer to bowl season. The 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, once again, Tuesday, December 23rd at FAU Stadium. Christian Catt is our producer behind the glass today. Christian, hello. How are you?
Doing fantastic. I heard the drum line playing before you guys came back from break. It sounded kind of legit there. Good atmosphere.
It is homecoming today, so yeah. There is that. The band is getting riled up.
I'll tell you what, I've been to a lot of high schools in the area. That was one of the best drum lines I've heard in the area, I think.
Yeah.
Really? It really was. It was wow. Yeah, it was one of the better bands.
Competition is, all right,
I'm
going to hold that thought.
I'll let you say that. But I thought it was one of the better ones that I've heard down here.
Well, yeah,
Christian.
Colin, you went to a high school last week. You said the band sucked. Is that what you said?
There you go, Christian.
Band, hey, listen,
you're not
going to
say where, but.
There you go, Christian.
I've heard some bands, and I think it was their first time picking up the instrument. if I had to take a guess.
Please stop.
They wouldn't have a spot in Mr. Allen's Opus. You guys ever watch that movie?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Good shout, Christian.
They would not have an opportunity. You know, it's not the Philharmonic, let's put it that way. All right, Christian, what do we got there? Let's do a 5 and 5 presented by Flagler Credit Union.
Five topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking, Big Ten.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Earn up to $700 per year with boost checking from Flagler Credit Union. Number one.
You guys brought him up earlier on in the show, Fran Brown. He is the head football coach of the Syracuse Orange. He's famous for a lot of things that he says, a lot of things he makes his team do, like run back and forth 50-yard line after a team win in front of the home crowd. Now he's famous for what he alleges he does if an outside program tries to tamper and rob his players. Take a listen to what Fran Brown had to say on this specific scenario.
How you deal with guys getting poached?
I don't even care, bro. Dudes be trying to push up on my wife, she bad. It's just the game, right? Yeah. That's what they do. I don't care, but like, don't let me find out. And then I see. Because I ain't no
right? You take it that personal if like a school comes in and gets a guy?
But like, I'm going to come at you. Like, yo, right. What's up, yo? Like, yeah. I'm going to see you, right?
Yeah.
There's a couple dudes I called and they tried, hey, lose my line. You better, like, damn. Man, shut up.
Is that childish from Coach Fran Brown of the Syracuse Orange, or is that unapologetically what? Himself?
What the heck was that quote?
He said, quote, I ain't no
No, I
bleep.
Heard that. No, I heard him, Christian. What the heck is he talking about? Was he threatening to fight opposing coaches that come get his players?
Yes.
What is he talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I don't know. That's I hey, like
Fran Brown.
He goes, for the
my record. Wife is bad. Like, that's the game? That's the game, coach? Don't let me find out?
Yeah. I, you know, fair play to him, man. That's,
fair play.
Yeah,
that's not
fair play to him. I don't know. Fair play to him, man.
Was he going
to
get, you know, Syracuse
yeah, he's
gonna
to square JFK? Up. He's going
to
square up with him, man.
JFK to Greenville.
Tell you
and,
what.
You know,
hey, Christian. You better tell your buddy James Franklin, don't mess with Cuse. You're going to get squared up by Fran Brown trying
yeah,
to steal his player.
Drive Syracuse, drive 7 hours down to Happy Valley and throw him up with James Franklin.
Back in the 60s and 70s, all right, if you got caught with someone else's girl, you're squaring up. Fran Brown, you know, fair play to him. That's how he still handles his business.
It's very bizarre. It's funny. It is funny. But, I mean, geez, that's your perspective. Don't let me see it. It's not like Syracuse is the Nebraska of the 90s. Can we take a pause on that? I mean, Jim Mora and the UConn Huskies, which has about a grand total of $0 to put together a roster,
Jim Mora.
Are talking about, getting the guys running on the sideline. You're an ACC school. Let's keep that in mind.
Hang on. Jim Mora? That's news to me. Yeah. Jim Mora and UConn?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How about that? And Fran Brown taking him up and down the sidelines.
Fair play. That's a fair play to Jim Mora, man, having UConn ready to play in the ACC.
Number two.
The numbers are out, and for the fourth year in a row, ESPN Fantasy Football set a new all-time mark for users in a season. It climbed from 11 million users in 2022 to 12 million in 2023. 13 mil last year, and a record 14 million users on ESPN Fantasy Football this season. Is fantasy football good for the NFL, or is it actually having drawbacks in terms of how you view the game?
Before I answer that question, I have noticed more in the past 2 years where whether people we work with or girls you're friends with, girls who are not NFL fans and they're not football fans, more and more, either whether people you work with, male or female, but mostly the girls, especially the women that we work with in the office,
right.
They're doing fantasy football when they hadn't before. It's new. You know, the last 2 years, they've been starting to draft teams. That's something that I didn't necessarily, that was not a thing 3 years ago. You know, people didn't do it recreationally unless you were a football fan. I think that's become much more normalized.
Colin, you mentioned, you know, the women's side doing fantasy. Christian, that's how I got...
Well, you're not NFL fan.
Yeah, but that's how I got one of my more recent exes to pay attention to football and care about football was fantasy, because she was a competitive gal, and I got her into fantasy football, and she could not wait to watch Red Zone every Sunday, so master plan was complete.
Dude,
Swifty helped too, Christian, honestly.
True.
Swifty helped. It was a perfect storm. Swifty became a thing, and she started getting really competitive with fantasy football, and she would watch with me on Sundays.
Yeah, your ex-girlfriend's story is similar to my girlfriend's story. About 4 years ago now, might have been 5 years ago now, got her into fantasy football. I just needed an extra team manager in order to have a 12-team draft. She rose her hand to help me out, and now she does not get off the couch on an NFL Sunday because she needs to keep track of her fantasy football team. Like you said, Mike, very competitive. She cannot stand college football unless it's a Penn State big game. But she loves the NFL because she's got invested interest. She's a part of the game now.
Yeah.
And strictly in the players, though, right? She's strictly about her fantasy football team.
Yeah, we're trying to get her there. Trying to get her to a team.
Here's the thing, boys. Like, for us, like Christian and Colin, I'm going to speak for you guys. I think you're on the same boat. Like, boys, I've had my same fantasy friends for baseball and football. Our basketball league fell apart. But for our football and basketball league, we've been playing since, like, 08. You know what I mean? Christian, I was in middle school playing fantasy sports. And, like, I understand because it's new for some people, right? Like, people who weren't originally football fans, I feel like the introduction to the NFL is always fantasy football, and that's how you hook somebody.
I did notice, though, and like I said before, in the last 2-3 years, it has exponentially risen amongst people who don't care about football. Maybe I just haven't paid attention to it, but I've noticed it more in the last year or two than I have ever before.
And there is such thing as beginner's luck. I don't want to hear it. There's such thing as beginner's luck at fantasy football, Christian, because so many times it's someone's first year, and all of a sudden they're in the championship game.
To answer that second question, I like fantasy football. I think there's a place for it. I think people enjoy it. I think it's fun. It adds a little competition, and it's a great way to stay connected with some friends if you're in a long-time league.
Definitely.
Great way to stay connected. But if I were to push back a little bit, I do think fantasy has made it a very individualized. You know, you're rooting for the player, not the team. And that's where people need to make sure that they have a team that they root for and they try to organize their fantasy football team to sort of cater to that. For me, the way I do that, and I'm not saying it's the right way to do it, I just try to stay away from division rival players.
Yeah.
And I definitely try to have at least one or two Jags players, hell or high water, on the roster. But there is something to having the individual rooting for it. That's why I like rooting for a team. That's why I like my overs more than I like my fantasy football
team. Christian, my team stinks, my NFL team, so like it's really all fantasy football after week 4 and 5 anyway.
Yeah, that's why I like the overs.
It keeps me locked.
My overs are more – I like watching the team more than I like watching for a player.
Now you
I think it's very tedious waiting for a receiver.
The only
to throw
over
the ball.
Listen, I got to say, tedious. Colin is a sharp. You know, for those, you know, like an expert, you know, in the betting world, they're called sharps. Kyle is a sharp with the overs and unders.
I wouldn't say that.
You're dead wrong on the Panthers, though. That's the one that you're just completely dead wrong
stay
on.
Stay true to the path. Stay true. Yeah. We're on the right. We're on the right path.
Yep.
Number three.
Let's continue on and go to some more college football. Looking at tomorrow's slate, is there an upset brewing up and down that Saturday card? Could a top dog get taken down? What say you, Russo and Rizzo?
You're down on Oklahoma here?
Yeah, I like Auburn. I like Auburn. I like Jackson Arnold to beat his former team. I'm big on him. Listen, I know Hugh Freeze gets a bad rap for, you know, good reasons, but I actually think he's a pretty good coach, and I think Jackson Arnold's a real deal. I've been following that kid since high school, and he was a five-star.
He hasn't done anything
I like
much
him
in his career.
Beat Baylor. And it was his first year starting, got benched at Oklahoma. I just think Oklahoma was kind of a mess with Venables and company last year. And I'll give him credit. It's been a good year so far beating Michigan, and Mateer seems like the real deal.
I'm curious on see if Tulane can score, can keep up with Ole Miss's offense. It doesn't sound like Austin Simmons is going to play, who was the previous quarterback. Now, Trinidad Chambliss, who is the backup, who played great against Arkansas. Granted, you know, Arkansas's defense would struggle in this conference that we're sitting at Martin County. But, I mean, generally, let's see if Tulane with Jake Retzlaff, who was our guy at BYU.
He was our guy.
If he can, kind of surprise them a little bit. That's a 330 coming off a big win second week. You got a little film in the quarterback. Let's see what happens to Ole Miss this week, sitting at 13. Number four.
Some injury news out of the NFL. Not good injury news out of the NFL. Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels is out. Versus the Raiders with a knee injury. Marcus Mariota will get the start for Washington this weekend. How important are the legs of Jaden Daniels to his game in the NFL level?
Well, let's see. Talk about the legs. That's why they put Marcus Mariota in there.
Right.
Because Marcus Mariota can pick up where they left
off. It's similar.
And Mariota's a good backup. He really is. So, I don't know. It's going to still be a competitive game. Fortunate for the Raiders sitting at 1-1 that they could potentially go to 2-1 without the starting quarterback, Jaden Daniels. But they're coming off a long week. They probably have known for a while that Jaden's probably not going to play.
Right.
Probably known for a number of days. So this is not necessarily catching them by too much surprise. But I think that Washington Commanders got to be careful here. You drop to 1-2, your only win is against the New York Giants week one of the NFL season. You got a little bit of an uphill battle to climb, especially in that good division.
They haven't looked good yet.
No.
And they haven't looked good yet.
They look pretty good against, you know, the Giants in that first game of the season. Giants never play well week one of the season. So, tricky spot there. Number five.
Number five.
Let's go back to college football because there's a big game in Miami Gardens tomorrow. Colin, you're going to be there for it. It is Florida. It is the Hurricanes. It all goes down at Hard Rock Stadium. Let's rewind back to last week, where maybe the greatest college football coach of all time, Nick Saban, joined Pat McAfee and talked about how he views the current iteration of the Miami Hurricanes.
Miami, though, looks for real. Cristobal Miami seemingly has the team, and Carson Beck looks like, obviously, who he is, a 10-year vet out there.
And I think one of the reasons for that, they're much better on defense. But Carson Beck is a really good quarterback, and he's played exceptionally well so far this year. But they are physical, man. I mean, they played physical. They were more physical than Notre Dame, which is typically a pretty physical team. So the combination of those two things and the improvement on defense, I think, is going to make this a hard team to beat.
I like how physical they are. I feel like whenever you see guys, if they're big and fast, boy, they have a chance.
Question for you, Mike. Question for you, Colin. Are the Miami Hurricanes the best team in the country?
I think, Christian, through the first 3 weeks they are. They have the two arguably most impressive wins. Now, I know Notre Dame dropped to A&M.
Best resume for sure.
I know Notre Dame dropped to A&M. That's still a very impressive win. That's a game Miami always loses, by the way. And then USF winning 49-12. Beck looks like a Heisman Trophy candidate. And I agree with Coach Saban. And I respect Coach Saban a lot. The defense is physical. They fly to the ball. They have athletes everywhere. Now, Cristobal, you might have some questions there if he gets in his own way, but it seems like that's not the case this year with these Hurricanes. I think right now they are the best team in the country. I do.
Put together the best resume. They You can definitely make the argument they've looked the best to this point week in and week out. I mean, from where we stand today, if you're going to judge it on 3 weeks, that's probably the conclusion you're going to come
to. And quickly, I think that Florida State, and Colin mentioned it earlier in the show, we hope Miami and Florida State are both undefeated in that matchup.
I root for good game.
I mean, we really have been robbed of good game. Texas and Ohio State was a sleeper. Michigan and Oklahoma, that was never really a game. The freshman quarterback wasn't ready for the game. And then last week, LSU and Florida, they threw five interceptions.
Georgia, Tennessee was a great game. It was.
But to that credit, Christian, these big games have kind of been sleepers. I'm hoping they can live up to that.
That was our 5-5 presented by Flagler Credit Union. Christian Catt is going to be on the road this weekend, going up to Chicago this weekend, so you won't hear him on the call tonight with ESPN West Palm High School Game Day. Instead, you're going to hear Mike Rizzo. You can also hear that on the ESPN South Florida app, which you could download on the Google Play or on the App Store right now for free. The ESPN South Florida app, it's your place for Russo and Rizzo, theoretically speaking. If you miss any of it, you can listen to it live on the app from anywhere. You can also listen to Inter-Miami English and Spanish broadcasts on the app as well, Deportes Radio. You also got Kaiser Seahawk football games. You got everything you need. South Florida sports in one spot. It's the ESPN South Florida app. Go download it today for free on the App Store. We continue on here. Russo and Rizzo, we look ahead to the college slate and NFL Sunday slate. Lots to talk about, lots to do. Stick around for it. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got the Knox in the house.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Live in Martin County High School, you got Martin County, Dr. Joaquin Garcia tonight at ESPN West Palm High School Game Day. You got some Kona ice behind us. You got the ESPN West Palm Street Team here. You got Mike Rizzo and Colin Russo now in elevated chairs for the first time today. Live on site for a little homecoming action. You can hear that tonight's kickoff, 6:30. We got a college slate this weekend. We now got Damian Perez helping us out behind the glass at the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. I want to ask Damian before I get to the college slate this weekend,
right,
because we were talking about it before. Damian Perez, you're a fantasy football player as well, correct?
Absolutely. Love fantasy football.
And how long have you been playing fantasy football?
Oof, probably been around since like 2015, my first year of college.
Yeah, about 10 years. And would you say that that is the primary reason you're watching games, or is it the Dolphins?
No, I mean, I watched games before I played fantasy football, but it's definitely added a dynamic to it, that's for sure.
Always curious about that. You know,
I am too.
Because I agree, like, fantasy adds a dynamic in terms of, hey, you could be interested in Colts-Titans when you have somebody on the Titans on. But, I mean, it's very tricky now.
I keep Red Zone on the big TV just for that reason, fantasy pretty much.
Right, fantasy, that's what Red Zone's basically made for.
Correct.
It's perfect, because you see every score.
Boys, like, my first year playing fantasy, I had Phil Rivers, I had LaDainian Tomlinson, I had Braylon Edwards and Vincent Jackson, and I won the whole thing that year. It was circa 2007-2008 season. And to Colin's credit, I was young at the time. I was like 12 years old. Dude, I was rooting for the Chargers nonstop. I mean, they had Antonio Gates, who played in my backyard at basketball, Kent State, Northeast Ohio. Like, you get those rooting interests. And, like, I feel like with people, especially that are new to football, to piggyback off of what Colin said, people who are new to football and the NFL football, that's maybe how they find their teams. They find their teams by that first year that they have in fantasy. Oh, this guy was great, and I loved watching this team. You know, I feel like that could be something, too, getting someone into football and getting someone to have a favorite team.
Yeah, it's a great introductory. It really is, because it's digestible.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking for scores. You're looking for touchdowns. Red Zone is very easy.
Do you want to know what I turned down? I turned it down. My buddy and his friends created this league. It's Power 5 college fantasy football.
Ugh.
Power 5.
Ugh.
And
oh, God.
It's that, a lot of guys. It's a
that.
Lot of teams.
I would hate that.
It's a lot of guys and a lot of teams.
How many guys?
Like, they have, like, so it's my ex-college buddies from Ohio State. It's like 16 guys, you know, because you got, bro, there's so many teams. You could afford to have a lot of people
and
in
I
it.
I bet the top 10 who selected quarterbacks have all made changes.
Correct. Correct. Arch Manning was a top 5 pick in that league.
Yeah.
How about that? Arch Manning was a top 5 pick.
Right. You're getting rid of a lot of those quarterbacks because they haven't.
Jeremiah Smith, like the likes of Jeremiah Smith went one, but like especially in a, you know,
that's
my league.
Yeah, I don't like that. See,
yeah.
Because you don't need
Power
that.
Power 5.
College is about watching for the chaos, in my opinion. Yeah. But there are a lot of people out there who love the NFL and can't stand college football. I don't understand it.
And I know opposites, too. I know opposites where people can't stand college. I really don't understand that. I know those people.
I really don't understand
I know those. I know those people. And like, you want to know what their argument used to be? Oh, the NFL guys make too much money. That I haven't spoken to these individuals in a long, long time.
Yeah,
but
you
growing
can't
up,
say that now.
You can't. That's what I mean. So, like, do they just hate football in general now? I can't get enough of the NFL. I can't get enough of college. I call myself a college snob and like an NFL. I appreciate the NFL. My team's so damn bad it's to the point where, like, I just love watching good football. On the college side, I'm a snob because, you know, my team's one of the better teams year in and year out. But I like the dynamic of Saturday, like even how our weekend programming is set up. Saturday tailgate, myself and Damian Perez, we really focus on the college side. And then Sunday huddle, you and Cade focus, Cade Chumslin, that is, focus on the NFL side. I like the separation. And that's why I kind of have problems with NFL playing on Saturdays sometimes. And you know, and listen.
I agree with that. Saturday is college
football. Like, Saturday is college football. Sunday and Monday and Thursday is NFL. And I think we keep it at that. Now, Friday, NFL could have Black Friday and whatnot, some of these other holidays. But Saturday is for college football, strictly for me. I don't even want to think. And the issue, too, is the playoff games, Kyle. What is it, the wild cards that they do on Saturday and the divisional rounds? I kind of have an issue with that.
Two on Saturday, three on Sunday, one on Sunday.
I could be wrong. College football could be wrapped up by then. I forget like some
it
of the.
Should be wrapped up by New Year's. That's
right,
a big problem.
Right, but
they've stretched entirely too long.
Now with the bowl games and the birth of the 12-team college football playoff, you really run into problems with the NFL and college on Saturdays, you know, going against each other. And the NFL will always win.
And the NFL will always win that battle, which is why you don't play that game.
Yeah.
But I am surprised by those people who are out there who are big college football fans. They can't get enough of it. But for some reason, I could definitely hear that argument for college basketball and the NBA. It's hard for me to make that argument with college football and the NFL because the NFL is obviously not as crazy. It's not as, you know, kind of out of nowhere.
Right.
But there is still chaos. You know, the Giants-Cowboys game last week.
Must-watch TV.
Yeah, it was must-watch. That was essentially like a college football game.
It was.
Back and forth. Like, that happens. It's just a little bit more uptight. There's a lot more coaching staffs go a lot more into it. It's all about game plan. It's all about adjustments. College football is really about either who's bigger or who's better or who's got the mojo that day.
Right.
So, but for some people, they love the tradition. They love, I don't know, the consistency, like, they love the craziness, they love the chaos, and that's why they can't stand the NFL. And I don't understand that, because I think the NFL does a great job. It's not that much of a trade-off. You're not switching that much. The NFL is consistently better games than college football.
There's a lot more defense in the NFL. You mentioned the coaching. Yeah,
I
agree.
Better games consistently.
Better games.
You're going to have 6-7 good games on a Sunday slate. You're going to have maybe 3 or 4 really good games in the college
slate. It's like when you mentioned the talent discrepancy and the problems that college faces, like when a Michigan faces off against a Central Michigan or whatever. My cousin and I have a saying in those games. When in doubt, just go deep. Just chuck it deep. That's college football when you have the better athletes. You could throw it 60 yards in the air and your quarterback's going to make the better throw and your receiver's going to beat the D. He's going to be faster than the DBs. And
and the crazy part is on the college side, like, the quarterback play is a whole lot worse.
Yeah.
You know, there is a lot more mental mistakes. You'll see guys, you know, stepping out of their own, and you saw it with Caleb Johnson, the Steelers last week, but you generally don't.
God.
You see guys stepping out of their own end zone for a touchback. You see guys dropping the ball before they cross the into the end zone on touchdowns, and then all of a sudden it's a fumble. You see that so much on the college level, and you don't see it nearly as much. It's a lot more tightened up.
Would you believe if I told you that Mike Tomlin said Caleb Johnson's probably not returning kicks next week? Would you believe me if I told you that? It lost him the game. If I could sidetrack quickly on that.
Steelers.
That doesn't happen to a Mike Tomlin football team. Like, and I love that you brought that up because, you don't see boneheaded plays like that in the NFL because these guys are professionals.
And you see it in college all the time.
Oh, my God,
you see it all the time.
Dude,
part of the chaos.
You saw it in the Florida State game. The kid mucked the punt against Alabama. And I go, are they really going to blow this right now because they can't do simple things like catch the damn ball in the air? But it's different. And I like the kind of looseness is the wrong term, but like –
It's a little arcadey.
Yeah, sure. Great. Sign me up. Especially with the team that I root for, man. Sign me up for 450 passing yards
and sometimes
three touchdowns.
You do have a defensive mind. You saw Florida Ole Miss. I mean, LSU. You saw Texas, Ohio
yeah.
State. You see
and
these
that's why
the offenses can't get anything going,
and
too.
And in college, that's why. Look at the teams that were left last year. Notre Dame had an elite defense. Ohio State had an elite defense. The teams that were left last year in the Final Four all had really Texas elite defense. Penn State, you know, Kyle, say what you want. They're phonies, whatever. Franklin always has a top eight total defense in the country, it seems. So that's what separates teams in college football is the great offense and the great defense, the complementary football.
Yeah, 888-760-3776, number to get into the program. If you're a college fan and not an NFL fan, let us know why, or vice versa. If you're not a college fan at all, but you're a huge NFL fan, why? 888-760-3776. Is it about the tradition? Is it about not having a team? Is it about not liking the level of football, the level being played? Or is it about just not having necessarily an affiliation with a team on the NFL or the college side? 888-760-3776. It is interesting to hear when people are one way or the other. I totally see it because the NBA and college basketball are two completely different products.
Yep.
And the NFL and college football are different products, but not as blatant as, in my opinion, the NBA and college. Because I'm a college basketball guy. I like the NBA. I think the NBA is good in the postseason, but I think it has a lot of problems in the regular season. Too many games. College basketball, I can watch. I watch college basketball through and through. I watch 100 games, but I don't do it with the NBA nearly as much because I have more connection
right.
to a college basketball side. But we got a college slate this weekend, week four college football kicking things off. Got some interesting games, and about two teams. You want to talk about the Big 12 teams that you don't have a feel for? Two teams that skyrocket to the top of the list are Texas Tech and Utah, who are playing in that 12 o'clock slate.
You know why? You're going to hate this, but you know why Texas Tech is good, right? Because they spent a boatload of money, got a boatload of players in the transfer portal.
And they got a good quarterback who's been there for like 5 years.
And guess
Morton,
what?
Baron Morton.
Now they have a great recruiting class all of a sudden because all of a sudden there's money in the program. Yeah, dude, Texas Tech. I'm telling you.
They haven't played anybody,
money,
so you're going to get a feel for that.
Money doesn't promise you anything, but it gets you in the conversation. That's my argument. The money in the NIL gets you into the
it
conversation.
Opens doors.
And
doors.
Especially with Arizona, and I apologize if you brought this up already, but especially with Arizona State, in my opinion, kind of bowing out of the Big 12 now after looking as bad as they have the first 3 weeks, you really look at Texas Tech and go, okay, they could be a college football playoff team.
Don't hate on Utah, because Utah's right there at 3-0 as well.
They're always good.
And Utah's home. Yeah, it's a well-coached team, and they got a new offensive coordinator this year, and they got the kid from New Mexico, Devin Dampier, who's played really well for them so far.
And let me tell you why they were down the last 2 years. It's because the uncertainty with Cam Rising.
Yeah, they got
it's about time that guy.
Yeah,
move on.
They rid themselves. He was a,
get out of here.
Parasite. He was a parasite
he
to
really
their success.
Was.
So I'm glad they actually moved away.
And
I've always thought
happened.
Utah's always been an underrated team. I agree with that. And I expect that to be a good game. That's a 12 o'clock Fox game, so I'm actually looking forward to that.
It'll be fun. Dude, we got it's to that year where I think – it's to that year. It's to that time of year, excuse me, where I think every single the slate on the college football side, if it's 12, if it's the 3 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock, and the night slate, we're always going to have a game to lock into.
Right.
I think we are.
And
we're
this is where you start getting into the weeks where certain teams have bye weeks going into big games next week. Penn State, Oregon being one, some of them as well. And Georgia, Alabama.
Ohio
buys.
State.
Yeah, teams have byes this week, but we do have something in each leg because in the mid part, you got the Auburn-Oklahoma game and you got with the Rich Eisen nightmare game, the Michigan-Nebraska game.
Which listen, Matt Rhule, Dylan Raiola, all right, they were on the ropes against Cincinnati. They were on the ropes against Cincinnati. If you
3 weeks
can't,
ago, but yes,
you can't beat Nebraska at home. That's why
it's in Lincoln.
And
it's
listen,
Lincoln
who am
field.
I?
It's at Lincoln Memorial.
I want to get this out. I told you I love Rich. He's an idol of ours in the broadcasting industry.
Who joined us earlier this week.
And he was nice enough to give us 30 minutes on the air. But Rich is telling me, you know, that he'd compete for a Big Ten championship. Rich, if they can't win on the road against Nebraska, if they can't beat Nebraska on the road, who's struggling with Cincinnati? Come on. The Michigan standard is not what it used to be. How about that?
Comparatively to what?
Comparatively. What do you mean comparatively to what? You know what I'm comparing it to, darn it, but I'm not going to say it. All right? Hey, but listen, there are big Big Ten matchups this weekend, even getting away from that. There are, like, Indiana and Illinois. Like, that's a great game.
At the same time as Florida-Miami as well. So you're going to learn something about Florida-Miami. And you're going to learn something about Indiana-Illinois, two teams who haven't really played much yet. And or both. You want to get a litmus test for the Big 12. You got one in the Texas Tech-Utah game. You want to get a litmus test for the Big 10. You'll see that in the nightcap. You want to get a litmus test for the Florida teams. You got that in UMUF. And if you want to get a litmus test in a little bit of the mid-port of the SEC, where, you know, you get the 20s, at the 16 to 25 range in the AP poll, that's where you got at Oklahoma-Auburn, because you'll see how good Auburn is in a big spot. You see if Oklahoma is for real, and you also see if Michigan stinks. Maybe Michigan stinks. Oklahoma's not that good because they beat Michigan, and then Auburn takes them down. So you got a lot of questions you have to answer.
What'd you say, Michigan stinks? No. Let's quickly focus on Bielma and Indiana. Bielma, head coach for Illinois. This is a big game for Brett for a lot of reasons. He's been rebuilding that Illinois program for years now. They're finally a top 10 team. They finally have the respect of say what you want, peers in the AP poll, peers in the Big Ten. I think people look at that Illinois team instead of going, ugh, you know, that's a game that we won. It's a team you worry about a little bit. And the fact that they blew Duke out on the road, Duke ain't any good. But the fact that they won that game convincingly, I think was a big game. And now he's playing Cignetti. And remember, the last thing we remember Cignetti for, it's head coach Kirk Cignetti for Indiana, the last thing we remember him for is saying how they're not going to schedule anybody and do what the SEC does. So people hate him.
And they haven't played anybody, and now they get their first test as well. So you're going to learn something about Indiana. Here's the thing I'm interested in about. Illinois got that, of course, this Indiana game, which is in Bloomington, by the way. And then after that, they got USC at home. I don't know whether USC is any good or not, so I'm not going to necessarily chalk it up as murderer's row. But then they got Purdue. They have the Ohio State game, which is going to be at home. Then the rest of the way, they got Washington, Rutgers, Maryland, Wisconsin, and Northwestern. That is easy.
Yeah.
That is, especially those last four. So if they're probably thinking, we could get to the Big Ten championship game, potentially. It depends on the actual conference records if we lose one game in conference.
Yeah, and it's
feasible. We could
get
there because Oregon plays Penn State. Penn State has to play all these other teams.
Give me that Michigan schedule. Give me that schedule again.
The Michigan schedule?
Yeah.
I'll get you that right now. But Illinois thinking, hey, if we could get out of this Big Ten schedule with just a one loss,
right,
we might have a chance to get into the Big Ten championship game and probably an auto bid to the college football playoff.
Because and based off the reason I'm asking for the Michigan 1-2 is like, how far off is Michigan 2 and Illinois? On paper, and according to the AP Top 25, Illinois is better than Michigan. But there's still the eye test there. Like, it's, you know, there's still the brand test that I call it with Michigan that people give the benefit of the doubt. And I think we got to stop doing that. I think it's time we stop doing that and give respect to teams like Illinois and Indiana who comparatively might be the better team.
Don't make this an anti-Michigan thing. Don't make this an anti-Michigan
thing. It's not. It's not. They lost five games last year. They already lost to Oklahoma. And if they lose in Nebraska, what are we doing?
Don't make this an anti-Michigan.
If they, the reason I asked you to pull
don't
this,
don't make this an anti-Michigan.
If they lose to Nebraska, what are the conversations?
It's a big if, but
the excuse is, we didn't have our head coach.
Okay,
all right, perfect.
Big if. Michigan the rest of the way, they got this Nebraska game on the road, they got Wisconsin coming up after a bye, then they're at USC, they got Washington at home, at Michigan State, which will not be an easy game.
No, Child's a good quarterback.
Yeah, and Purdue at home, Northwestern on the road, Maryland, and then the Ohio State game. That, again, is not a bad schedule.
It's not, and I understand people's gripes, how they want to see the big-time matchups every year, they want to see the Oregons and the Ohio States, the Michigans and the Oregons and whatever, but like, when the conferences are this big, Kyle, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you know? You have hard schedules and easy schedules.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's just like the SEC in that matter, too. Like, Texas's SEC schedule is easier than Florida's. Oklahoma's schedule is harder than Alabama's. It's the luck of the draw sometimes some of these years.
And that's why you look at Penn State, who in conference
they play
has
nobody.
To play. No. Hold on. Penn State plays Oregon
at home.
Next
at
week.
Home, though,
they still have to play Ohio State. That's harder than every other schedule
road.
To begin with.
Agreed.
And then they have Indiana at home, and then still at Michigan State. It's not comparatively.
Yeah.
They could have two losses there. If they have two losses there, then we're looking at them just off of conference record alone, being in danger of falling out.
Yeah, and the good news is too, with the 12 team, you could lose two games and get in. And even I think there are going to be years where you lose three and you're in. You know, last year the
goal
three,
is you want to make that championship.
You want to be playing a conference championship weekend.
You play on that weekend, you're probably getting
in. Look what happened to SMU, who had, you know, hindsight 2020, they had no business being in the playoff, but they played Clemson tough, and they ended up getting in.
If you get to that weekend, most conferences, maybe not at the Big 12, but If you get to that weekend, you're probably getting in. That should be the goal of a lot of these teams. You know, because nowadays they've really shrunk the importance of winning that conference championship. It's all about getting into the playoff. And so a lot of these teams are probably thinking, hey, like, unless we're confirmed like an SEC school that is on the outside looking in of that conference championship weekend and we still get in, you know, that could always happen.
But generally,
if we get to that weekend, we know we're going to be playing in the postseason.
The champion wouldn't have gotten in the old format last year.
Right.
Wouldn't have. They
Ohio State would not have gotten in.
They would have not have gotten in.
There's a good example because Oregon and Penn State both played championship weekend. Ohio State was sort of the outlier.
Correct.
Because they got screwed out of the conference schedules, excuse me. And that kind of allowed Penn State to give themselves that auto bid, and that's how that works. So Big Ten is probably going to have another one of those as well. You make that game, you're getting in.
Yep.
That's why I'm very curious to see if Illinois, because Indiana's got a hard schedule. They have to play Oregon. It's very interesting to see if Illinois is going to be for real. That is going to be my big takeaway question that I'm looking for. How good is Illinois? Is Florida dead? And let's get a read on these Big 12 teams.
Can I throw one more thing in there since we're live at Martin County? Vinny Sutherland, offensive coordinator for Martin County, good friend. His Purdue Boilermakers play Notre Dame. Vinny played for Purdue. Let's have Purdue win on the road and completely just erase Notre Dame from the top 25 and any college football situation.
Hopefully, I'm hoping on Arkansas not get Notre Dame.
Can we get a boiler up this weekend?
They got Arkansas, I believe, in 2 weeks, and I'm hoping on that being the game to kind of put Notre Dame away. Because I personally don't think a 10-2, 10-game win streak Notre Dame gets in. Some people are on the other side of that. I don't think they get the opponents for it, but there's totally an argument.
Think they win 10 in a row. They'll lose one more game. Where I'm at.
That's where I'm hoping. Let's find a game. And I'm a Notre Dame hater, if you haven't noticed. Arkansas. Hopefully Arkansas can be that team to knock Notre Dame off that high horse because I am over it. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Damian Perez. We're going to blitz the book on the flip side. We're live at Martin County High School where you got Martin County, Dr. Joaquin Garcia for ESPN West Palm High School Game Day coming up tonight, 6:30, presented by HSS Florida. Stay tuned for that. But we got to close out the program on the flip side and also make some picks against the spread, send you off into your packed weekend of football. Stick around for it. Blitz the book presented by Hard Rock Bet on the flip side. It's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. We got Damian Perez at the City Place Studios. We are live at Martin County High School where we got ESPN West Palm High School game day coming up at 6:30. Kickoff on 6:30. You can watch that on our YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook at ESPN Top 63. Full live stream of the game will be found there, and you got a pregame and postgame coverage up to 11 p.m. today. So I got you. You got plenty of us coming up, and we got Dr. Joaquin Garcia, Martin County, tonight there. If you missed any of this program today, you want to listen back, you can go listen to Russo and Rizzo on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places. Just go and search up Russo and Rizzo. And you can also watch us live as we're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X at ESPN West Palm. So you can check us out there, watch us, and see our pretty faces all throughout there. Well, Mike, it's time for us to make a couple picks against the spread. And what we'll do is we're going to blitz the book instead of a Hard Rock Bet.
Send some heat. Pin your ears back. It's time to blitz the book. Presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Blitz the book presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. Go down the app today on the Google Play or the Apple App Store. Hard Rock Bet offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida. Wager. Terms and conditions apply. Consider by gambling. Call 1-888. Admit it. All right, Mike, let's take a couple picks against the spread on the Hard Rock Bet app. Let's do a couple, Kyle. What are you thinking? A five-leg parlay?
I was thinking 2-2. You all right with that? 2 NFL?
All right, 2-2. 2 NFL, 2
college.
Parlay?
Yeah, I think 4. We've been going 2 NFL, 2 college. We were dangerously close to winning that last parlay that we did last week,
How about this? How about this? Can we include the Red Sox today at the Rays? Because
sure.
I need it for my
sure.
over.
Absolutely.
All right, so we'll start with the Red Sox against the Rays because they got Crochet on the mound. I need them to go 5-4 the rest of the year to win my over. and I need a win. So we're going to hope that the Red Sox can do that. So let's start that. Red Sox against the Rays today with Garrett Crochet on the mound. So I actually like that.
It's funny enough, I need that game too.
Colin,
I like Illinois. I think I'm riding Illinois. It's a little bias. I've really been following that Illinois football project with Brett Bielema for a long time. I love them plus 6.5 on the road. I do. Getting points on the road.
You're
plus
also
six
rooting
and a half.
For a close game.
Yeah.
I like it too.
Yeah.
I like that too.
I really like that bet. I think it's a smart bet. Indiana, the two good teams they played last year. Let's really think about it. The three good teams Indiana played were the Buckeyes, they lost, were Notre Dame, they got bamboozled in the playoff, and then I can't even think of a third. You think of a third on that schedule that they played last year that was a good win against a top 25 opponent? They played three top 25 opponents, counting Illinois, in basically a year and 4 weeks. I know Cignetti does a good job in the portal and whatever, but fading
quarterback
Cignetti.
Mendoza.
I'm fading Cignetti.
I was pro Indiana last year. How about this? We got the Indiana game, and we got taking Illinois plus 6.5. Florida, Miami. What do you think about the under?
I think Beck puts up points. I don't like it. Beck put up 49 against USF. They put up 27 against Notre Dame.
I like the under.
You're there.
Florida's going to show a little guts today. I don't think they'll be able to score, but I think they'll be able to kind of keep it close with Miami at least in the first half.
You will be there Saturday. I got Inter Miami, so I'll let you handle that bet.
Well, hold on.
But you're going to root for a bad. You're going to root for a bad game. We did that, and for those of you that don't know, Colin and I had amazing seats for the Orange Bowl for my Uncle Patrick because we thought the Buckeyes were going to be playing in it. But Colin and I used Uncle P's seats that he didn't come down for, and we took the damn under of Penn State and Notre Dame. It was miserable.
There's not a more godforsaken way to watch
a
football game.
It was miserable.
Sitting there with great seats for a good game, rooting against.
Dude, we were first row behind the end zone, and Colin and I were rooting for no touchdowns.
And everybody around us knew that we were taking the under, and they were all laughing at us throughout the entire game. All those fans, that Penn State fan right next to us.
Dude, it was terrible.
Oh, my God. Nobody let us hear the end of it. But a second, oh, my God, it was ridiculous.
My, by the way, the old uncle, he's already looking at national championship tickets. I said, can we get through the first? But he is a true Buckeye fan in that sense.
That.
Can we please let this half of the season go? But, yeah, I'll let you take that game. It's not even that you have to stay away. I just thought you'd want to root for a good game. I think over would be good on that.
I think an under.
Okay, fine. Hammer it. You have it. All right, you're doing it, so hammer.
All right, we're taking the under in Florida-Miami because I actually think Florida's going to keep it close in that first half. That defense, I think, will show up.
Yeah, hope T.J. Lagway, isn't thrown to the other team five different times.
Let's hope for that. Maybe they'll tone it back. They're not going to let him air it out as much because he was a night. He's got six interceptions.
Yeah, well, then you might be onto something with the under if you tone it back. All right, so that's two. We could go
NFL.
Okay, all right. Well, I like the Packers.
You do like the Packers.
It's 7.5 on Hard Rock, Ben.
Leave it to us to bet against the Cleveland Browns when you're a Cleveland Brown fan and the Cleveland Browns to burn us on our parlay.
Might be what I'm trying to do here.
Leave it to us to do that. I don't like this at all.
That's fine. We don't have to take it.
I don't like that at all.
I think, honest to God, theme magic and mojo aside.
Las Vegas is still getting points at Washington, no Jaden Daniels.
How many? 3.5?
Plus 2.5.
It moved. It was 3. Jaden moved it a full point.
Okay.
You like Geno?
Plus 3 now. It just changed. Plus 3.
Yeah. Hammer Geno 3. Even though Geno,
they were a train wreck. They were a disgrace.
And that was our last parlay we did with
Jake
Hard Rock.
Browning over
By the way,
take
we hammered Tampa at plus 2.5 and Baker to have over 1.5 passing touchdowns. All that hit. And I'm like, Kyle, we got momentum going in. I think that it's like, Geno threw three.
Geno was a disgrace.
He was so
bad. Geno was a disgrace.
Tom Brady was in the booth.
Do the Raiders have an unfair advantage? Are we watching the same game?
Yeah.
What advantage do the Raiders have in this?
Geno Smith looked like J.J. McCarthy.
Are we watching the same game? Yeah. There is no advantage to be had from the Las Vegas
Raiders. Correct. But yeah,
can't listen to that.
All right. Well,
we're taking Las Vegas.
We're falling in that trap. Listen, if you're a listener.
They're playing on a short week.
I don't understand. You are fading us if you're listening to us.
We stay away from this.
We took them, by the way.
I changed my mind in the last 10
okay.
seconds.
Well, guess
we're
what?
We're not taking Las
we
Vegas.
Took, by
we're
the
not taking them on a short week with Washington on a long
for
week.
Those
we're
of you,
that.
For those of you listening, the beauty of Blitz the Book with Hard Rock Bet, you could fade us. Colin, listen, we're not professional gamblers. We just watch the games like all you other guys. We took the Jets last week against the Bills at +6.5.
Yeah, blew
that was
us
the
up.
Worst. My brother, he goes, Mike, that might have been the worst bet you guys
yeah,
have ever
burned.
Taken on
we
that
got
show.
Burned. We
got burned. We got bamboozled.
We got burned.
We got bamboozled.
Atlanta was a good pick.
It was, and that was you. That was all you.
Pick.
That was.
Jets
I give you credit.
Was me too.
It was.
Jets
but
was me too.
I give you credit. You made up for it with that Atlanta pick. You had that.
All right. Do you want to take the Dallas game -1 against Chicago?
Are we fading the Bears? That seems smart. Take Dak. Dak looked good on the road in Philadelphia. CeeDee Lamb. Is he going to catch a ball on the
it's
road
in
Chicago,
the
NFC North?
The one thing I'll say is Vegas always knows. And that 0-2 team. Do you want to stay away from the 0-2 teams?
No. I think we fade the Bears. I fell into
Bears. Dude, this is exactly what happened in the
Kyle, if we keep
the
this
Miami
up,
Dolphins game.
Kyle.
The 0-2 games are dangerous.
If we keep this up, we're not going to make a pick. Remember what all right,
I
we,
would say stay
all
with
right,
the
fine.
0-2s.
All right, fine. But we are going to take the 49ers -2.5 against the Cardinals.
I like
that's,
that as well. I'm in on that.
If I had a play of the weekend in the NFL, that's it. And I know Brock Purdy or whatever, injured Mac Jones, whatever. Listen. The Cardinals, by the skin of their teeth, Bryce Young almost single-handedly beat them in the second half by throwing for like 300 yards.
Should we take Kansas City -6 against the New York Giants on the road? Kansas City wins ugly. I have a feeling they're going to beat down on them. 0-2, Kansas City, first time
all right.
in a long time.
All right.
That would be San Francisco right. -2.5.
I don't like anything else. I really don't like anything else.
I would stay away from the Denver Chargers.
We could
game.
Do the Rams +3.5 on the road, or the Eagle. Or could the Eagles lose one? It is basically what you're. It's basically what you're
the thing
betting
is,
on.
I would say the 0-2 teams you got to keep an eye on. I'm not touching that Houston game.
I thought we were staying away from the 0-2
No, but that's
teams.
You got to keep an eye on.
Okay,
you stay away. If
you're they're 2-0. Eagles are 2-0. Rams are 2-0. The Eagles have been flirting with disaster against the Cowboys.
How about this?
And right. against
I'll
the,
give you one out. If
Chiefs.
You want to change a game, we could take Kansas City out, and we could take Indiana Jones. -4 against Tennessee on the road.
We took him in. Yeah, we did. I feel like we owe it to Daniel Jones.
We took him in our cover 5.
I feel like we owe it to Daniel Jones.
That's the famous last words.
We owe it to Indiana Jones to put our money where our mouth
no
is.
No problem. No problem. All right, the 49ers line is now suspended on the Hard Rock Bet.
Well, yeah, because they hear me talking about it and how it's free money because they know I'm right. It's listen, folks.
Something
2.5.
Something happened with San Francisco. I'm not sure. Brock Purdy playing?
2.5 is what we got San Francisco at, and we are hammering that. That's free money. Kyler Murray on the road? Give me a break. Do you see that guy on the road in the fourth quarter
Kyle
last week?
Kyle Shanahan did say it's highly unlikely that Brock Purdy will start Sunday, which means it's shaping up as the second straight week. Mac Jones is going to play again. All right.
If anything, we're getting better odds.
If anything, we're going to get some better odds.
I still like them to win with Mac Jones. Christian McCaffrey, Brian Robinson, they got running backs. They're going to be able to run the football against Arizona. You know, I do like Gannon. Gannon, a decent enough coach. I was hanging on for dear life on the Survivor. I was with Arizona last week. I got a bad taste in my mouth with the Cardinals, man.
All right. Fair enough. So we got the 49ers. That line is going to be changing momentarily. on the app. So we're going to have some good odds there. We'll start to see what's going on there. But what we do have, the Red Sox to win tonight at the Rays. They've lost 2 out of the last 3 against the Sacramento Athletics. And
Collins team, by the way.
The number 9, Illinois Fighting Illini at Indiana, getting basically a touchdown, 6.5 in that game. We like the under in the Florida-Miami game. 49ers pending whatever the new line is on the Hard Rock Bet app. And Indiana Jones -4 at the Titans. That's our parlay.
Now to talk about Indiana Jones and Cam Ward and that game coming. Is Cam Ward going to have that? When's he going to have that game? Remember, Cam Ward was supposed to be, not supposed to be because it's hard shoes to fill. But like he was supposed to be the Jaden Daniels this year. You know, he was supposed to be the rookie sensation out of this rookie class. You know, Jackson Dart not immediately playing. I know Shedeur Sanders went in like the 6th round, 5th round, but you know, there's a lot of hoopla there. He's not playing. You know, there are not a lot of rookie quarterbacks playing outside of Cam Ward right now.
True, and he had that amazing play rolling right when he threw it to the other side of the end zone. I mean, probably one of the more ill-advised throws I've ever seen, but it worked out. But Cam Ward, we're sort of waiting on him to see where everything goes. And they got Indiana Jones this week, so that's going to be a tough outing for them to begin with. And Indianapolis, we are betting on Indianapolis. So let's see if they could keep up any of the momentum as that closes out our Hard Rock bet. Mike's going to be on the call tonight. We're at Martin County. That's going to be taking on Dr. Joaquin
OC,
Garcia.
Yeah, OC Vinny Sutherland with a little dap up over there. And Coach, I hope they're fast as you were in Purdue tonight. All right? How about that? Yeah. I got to listen. This is, if for any of you that call these high school games, you love knowing somebody because they send you rosters, depth charts, statistics. I got everything I need tonight. And even Coach Walker over at Garcia, great guy. I delivered Caleb Butler's top 63 invite. I got everything I need. I honestly got to get the the football announcing voice going. I gotta start up the engine.
Warm up the.
Yeah, I gotta hang on the. I gotta kickstart the football engine real quick.
All righty. It's going to be a party here for homecoming for Martin County.
What the heck just
and,
happened?
Something's going on here. I'm not sure what's going on. I don't know.
Listen, we're in the middle of the concourse, you know, so you know we're in the middle of everyone over here. People are taking pictures without our consent.
Final score prediction. We're radio hosts, by the way.
I'm kidding.
Final score prediction, Florida-Miami.
You're not going to like it.
All right. I like it better be under 50.5.
Miami 38, Florida 14.
You're making it 52? Can you take off 2 points anywhere?
No.
Can you make it 35, 14?
The over is going to hit.
Can you make it 35?
That's why I said you're not going to like the score. The over is going to hit. Dude, Beck's the real deal. They got two running backs in Fletcher and Wiles. I'll tell you what, man. Where's Theo Dorsey when I need him?
Can you make it 50.5?
No. Dude, it's going to go over. That's why I told you that bet. You're rooting for a bad game. You're going to be sitting at that game. You're going to be sitting at that game like we were two stooges at the Orange Bowl.
I'm rooting for 27-13, 27-16.
We were at the Orange Bowl rooting for a terrible game like the two stooges that we are.
My score prediction is 27-16 in favor of Miami.
You're rooting.
27-16 makes a lot of sense. It is going to
see how fast that Hurricane defense is, man? Lagway threw five picks last game.
Yeah, you can't tell me all about the defense.
I think that defense walks. I think
and
that defense escorts.
Is impressive too.
I think that defense escorts
and
a touchdown
and
similar
defense
to LSU
is impressive
last week.
As well. They played well last week.
They're going to be celebrating in the end zone, taking pictures.
So, yeah, I agree. I understand LSU has not shown you anything, but they're going to walk in that game, and Miami's just going to steamroll them, and they're going to score 100 points. Notre Dame's defense stinks, and Miami only scored 27 points.
Kyle, they're practicing. The defense is practicing their touchdown celebrations at practice this week. They're scoring on defense.
Let's hope that they tone it back and don't let Lagway throw it beyond the line of scrimmage. They do a little Tua with it.
If they tone it back, they're not going to score points. And
fine.
Carson Beck's going to put up points.
That's good for us.
No,
that's
that means it's going to be a blowout for Miami.
That's good.
That means Miami's going to blow the doors off of
it. But until the Florida can keep Miami's offense in check just for a little bit, maybe the first half. Once they do it for the first half, we will be in good shape. That was our Blitz the Book. We need the under tomorrow. 50.5. Florida, Miami. I can't believe you're not on board there.
I'm not.
And you made a score prediction of 52 total points. Give me a break. It's not that going to be. It's not going to hit by that much. Oh, unbelievable.
We'll keep this in mind.
Nonetheless, you got ESPN West Palm High School game day coming up on the flip side. I got your pregame up until 6:30 here from both sides of the coaches. That's Coach Rod Harris and Coach Brandon Walker. You got Dr. Joaquin Garcia taking on Martin County tonight. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Mike will be on the call. I will be at the City Play Studios a little later on tonight, up till 11. Stay tuned for then. If you missed any of the Russo and Rizzo, listen on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places. You can listen to it in full there. Colin Russo saying so long. We'll see you on Monday, or we'll see you coming up next. Be on ESPN 106.3.